So, beloved, I know you had some particular things that you wanted to talk about.
I always have some particular things I want to talk about.
You do. It's true.
And this time, these particular things have to do with the energy of this time of the year, which is very powerful, as you know. It's powerful because, first of all, this is the winter solstice. This is a time in which people, long before the birth of Christ and the beginning of the Christian era, were aware of the momentous importance of this moment that comes on the winter solstice, when all that has been gathering, all that has been contracting into one seed of potential. That was Linda saying hello again.
A little sneeze.
When everything that has been contracted since the last, had contracting since the summer solstice into one seed of potential suddenly reverses direction and begins to expand outward and will continue to expand outward until the next summer solstice. That's happening. Also, the Christian era sort of piggybacked on this energy. I'm not saying that anything that is in Christian dogma didn't happen at this time of the year, but it was a great time of the year for it to happen because this winter solstice is powerful. And the birth of a loving energy that injected love as a primary energy into the human consciousness occurred also at in this time frame of the year. And then on top of all of that is a very modern creation, which we're all familiar with. And this was the commercial Christmas. And the commercial Christmas is very definitely a piggyback on everything else that's happening at this time of the year. The commercial Christmas is a very different energy than that of the winter solstice and that of the Mass of Christ. It is the energy of exploitation, of manipulation. In other words, it's the energy of external power. Now, all of this is happening now. And this call is to look at all of it and help you begin to sort those energies out so that when you experience them in yourself, you know what they are and you can recognize them and you can see if they are energies that you want to act on or they're not. The highest potential of this time of the year, in my opinion, one of them, is compassion. The experience of compassion. So this call, this interaction is focused on compassion, because everybody wants to have a compassionate holiday, even those who are profiting from it, individual by individual, would want compassion in their lives. Now, compassionate holidays require that you act consciously in each moment. Unconscious caretaking and pleasing, for example, giving gifts because it's the time of the year that tradition requires us to give gifts, or because others are expecting you to give gifts, or you anticipate that they are expecting you to give gifts. All of that, none of that, is a compassionate experience. Doing any of those things, giving gifts, for caretaking or to please others, is not compassionate. And I'll say again, is not compassionate. So if you want to experience a compassionate holiday, that's not the way to do it. When you give gifts in that energy, it's ignoring the humanity of the recipient, because the recipient is being exploited by frightened parts of your personality. In other words, you give a gift, you expect appreciation, you want to feel better about yourself. You've followed all the rules, societal, religious, and family expectations. This type of interaction multiplied billions of times in this month transforms an inner celebration into something that's much less than it could be. So what is compassion? Compassion is being moved to and by acts of the heart. Now, by heart, I don't mean the sentimental heart. I don't mean the heart that empathizes, that pities, that tries to help other people because they have problems. I'm talking about the most grounded, healthy, life-giving, life-affirming, nurturing part of your personality. That's what we mean when we say of the heart. If this heart is not present, no compassion is present. So that means that a compassionate holiday, like a compassionate family gathering or a compassionate country, requires you to replace the experiences of frightened parts of your personality with experiences of loving parts of your personality. The frightened parts of your personality also include those parts that are angry, jealous, resentful, irritable, judgmental. And the loving parts of your personality are those parts that experience gratitude and appreciation and caring and patience. In order to create the experience of compassion in you, or allow it to emerge in you, requires that you challenge the frightened parts of your personality and replace their experiences with the experiences of loving parts of your personality. Now, this is something you're all familiar with. This means creating authentic power. Now, most people are not aware of this close relationship between creating authentic power and experiencing compassion, but it's obvious to those who know even a little bit about creating authentic power. You can't be compassionate and angry at someone at the same time. You can't be compassionate with someone and jealous of that person at the same time. You can't be compassionate with someone and intend to exploit that person emotionally or psychologically or in any other way. Now, people who don't know about authentic power want very much to experience compassion, especially during this holiday season, but they don't know how to bring it into their experience, except to try to will it into their experience. And this makes compassion even less possible for them to experience, because the effort to experience it then becomes an effort to make themselves feel better, which is the opposite of compassion. The commercial Christmas is built on the let's put it this way. What is the commercial Christmas and why is it so powerful? Because it promises the offering of gifts to gift givers, the experience of compassion through shopping and buying. You shop and you say, this is for Aunt Petunia. Even if you're not Harry Potter, you might have an Aunt Petunia. Or you say, this gift is for my neighbor. But what is your intention for buying the gift for your aunt or for your neighbor? Does it come from love? Does it come from gratitude or appreciation? Or does it come from a part of you that wants to be recognized as a gift giver or to fulfill your obligations? If you feel the lure of this, ask yourself while you are Christmas shopping if you would be doing the same thing in June at the summer solstice or any other time for that matter. If appreciation and gratitude were your motivation for shopping, would shopping in April or October be as satisfying? Yes, of course it would. Sometimes it's even more so because then there's no seasonal tradition of giving gifts and receiving the expectations or gratifying the expectations that come with it. Are your holiday experiences determined by the external world? The things that we've been talking about, the expectations of relatives or friends? Well, take a careful look at this, because your internal world can also be a world of fear as well as a world of love. It can be a world of fear of abandonment, rejection, ridicule, failure. All of these fears are also part of the holiday season, in which giving and receiving are both bound up with buying and getting things. Now, what are your intentions in this confusing vortex? Do you seek to satisfy the expectations of others or of yourself? They are often interwoven or the same. A compassionate holiday requires awareness and discipline. Awareness of your emotional currents and discipline in your choices of intention. It requires choices of, you know the answer to this, love. It requires conscious choices of love, and it requires choices of integrity. When those two seem to be in conflict, love and integrity, fear is present. That is a time to apply emotional awareness and practice responsible choice. A compassionate Christmas is not, put it this way, a compassionate Christmas is not possible without a compassionate day before Christmas, and a compassionate day after Christmas, and compassionate days before those and after those. In other words, why look at a particular holiday as a time to be compassionate and then forget about it before and afterwards? If you do, you're going to have a much more difficult time experiencing compassion on that holiday, because it's not something that you do. It's not something that you practice. It's not something that you use your life to bring into being. When you intend to create harmony and cooperation and sharing and reverence for life, you're truly in the holiday spirit. The holiday spirit is clear and bright and present, and it doesn't come and go according to calendar dates. It's warm, it's inclusive, it feels wonderful, it's giving, it's caring, it receives without reservation, it gives without limitation. It's the time of light, of love, of life. These are the same things. This is the time you were meant to live, day by day, every night, and all of the times in between day and night. What is a holiday? A holiday is a holy day. What day is not holy?